will cry for the little boy, lost and all alone? Who will cry for the little boy, abandoned without his own? Who will cry for the little boy? He cried himself to sleep. Who will cry for the little boy who he never had for keeps?
Who will cry for the little boy who walked the burning sand? Who will cry for the little boy, the boy inside the man? Who will cry for the little boy who knew well hurt and pain? Who will cry for the little boy who died and died again? Who will cry for the little boy? A good boy he tried to be. Who will cry for the little boy who cries inside of me?
Who will cry for the little boy, Antoine?
I will. I always do.
Welcome to What the Nostalgia Podcast, the podcast where we go back and review movies from our formative years on up to our late teens. At the end of the podcast, we ask ourselves, were we looking at the content through rose-colored lens, or is it as nostalgic as before? We're your hosts, Jarrell.
And I'm Jamel.
And this is What the Nostalgia. Jamel, let us know what we're getting into.
Today we have Antoine Fisher. This movie was released January 10th, 2003. It was directed by Denzel Washington. For the cast, we have Derek Luke as Antoine Fisher, Denzel Washington as Dr. Jerome Davenport, Joy Bryant as Cheryl Smoby, Sally Whitfield as Berta Davenport, Novella Nelson as Miss Tate, and Viola Davis as Eva May. For the box office numbers, this movie had a $12 million budget, and they ended up grossing over $23 million worldwide.
All right. How long has it been since you've seen this, man?
Man, I'm going to tell you, man, I'm going to be honest. This was my first time seeing this film all the way through. You know, I would always see it back in the day on TV or, you know, just passing by. But this was the first time I actually sat down and watched the whole thing. I mean, you set me up on this one, man. This was a powerful film, man, I got to say.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how you never finished this in all these years.
All right. It's just one of those films that I never got to watch all the way through.
I mean,
what about you, though?
I've seen it a bunch of times, you know. The last time, it's been a little while, though. It's been some years, I want to say. But, I mean, it's a powerful film. It should be required viewing. Denzel, man, I think this is his first directorial. I think this is like his directorial debut, right? I heard.
This was his first one.
And it's like, hey, man, he did his thing. He did his thing right out the gate.
What a way, man.
Exactly.
Make his debut.
Exactly, I think you wanted to throw some love to Denzel, man. Like, I guess now's the time.
After watching this film, man, all the way through, I already had a level of respect for Denzel, man, as an actor. But watching this and then learning that he directed it as well, and he took this man's story, you know, and put it on the big screen the way he did. I mean, to me, and I don't know where you fall in line with this, but it was a little question of Will Smith, Denzel Washington, you know, it was like 1A, 1B. On Sundays, Will Smith might be number one. On Thursdays, Denzel might be number one. But now, after seeing this man, Denzel is no question number one on that list for me, you know, so I definitely got a good love, man. Like I said, I already had it. High respect, but after this film,
bro,
it's on another level for me. I'll
be honest. I still see it as 1A, 1B. I mean, Denzel is 1A, but I still pretty much got it right there. Like, yeah, yeah. It didn't, you know, I've seen it before again, so that's my
right,
thoughts.
Right.
That's my thoughts right. on it. But it's definitely.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Will Smith definitely still number two, but you know, this kind of, I guess, helped separate him a little bit from the beat. You know, actually seeing this film pretty much for the first time.
This is the one that put it over the mark for you.
Yep, put it over the top. Put it over the top for me. Sure.
Okay. Like I said, hey, Will Smith had got the Matrix. I'm telling you, it would be up in the air for me.
That would have been the one I would put it over the top.
It would have been up in the air. It would have been, you know, just real close to bait. But he didn't, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, Denzel, he did his thing in this film. Acting sure. wise too as sure. well. You already know. Yeah.
No question, man. So now let's get into this, man, because the first thing I kind of want to bring up on this is, you know, some comparisons that I saw from the jump, you know, in the opening of the film, you know, and the first thing that came to mind when I saw, you know, Antoine Fisher as a little boy in that field, first thing I thought about was T'Challa. I thought of Black Panther. It felt like he was the protege, you know, in this opening scene. You know, the table was set for him. It seemed like, you know, this stuff was being passed down to him. I don't know. It just gave me that feel of like he was being anointed in the beginning. And like I said, seeing this for the first time all the way through, I didn't really know the full context of it, of the scene, so that was one of the first things that I thought of when I saw
that opening scene. Okay. Yeah, I can't even lie. I didn't think about that, but I definitely see that on what you're talking about. I remember that field scene. As far as with Black Panther as well, I had some different, you know, that's all the comparisons that you have. You know, as far as the movie, I saw a lot of different stuff. I mean, just throughout the film, I got a couple of different comparisons.
Yeah, you know. What you got on?
I mean, number one, this movie reminded me of Precious. Like, it felt like Precious was like the female version of this or something like that. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Precious?
Yeah, I've seen it once a long time ago. It's been a minute, but I definitely see the comparison, though.
Yeah, you know, just some sure. real, you know, real hard living, basically. Some right. tough growing up type stuff going on. It also reminded me of another movie that Denzel directed, Fences. You know, I got a little bit of a vibe there, too. But there were certain scenes, so... let me see. I'm gonna also go here. Slumdog Millionaire. You remember that movie?
That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, hey, I haven't seen that in a while. We're gonna have to do that one day. But Slumdog Millionaire, just as he began to, you know, find himself in therapy, it reminded me of that. Like the flashbacks, I was like, okay, I'm getting a little Slumdog Millionaire vibe here. And yeah. And then lastly, you know, we going into it a little bit, but during that basement scene, it reminded me of Saw. it got a little diabolical in that basement. And
I didn't see that coming.
Look, it got a little diabolical in that basement. Okay. I said to myself, yo, I don't want to be there. I mean,
right.
I don't even want to laugh at it because, again, you know, this movie is based off of a true story. I don't know how much, you never really know all the way how much is true. But if he was going through some of that stuff that he was going through, it was crazy, you know. But but yeah, I had to, you know, that's just some of my comparisons. I'm also compare Derek Luke, you know, and his performance a little bit and just how he acts. Do you get like a Daniel Kaluuya vibe from him? Or is that just me? Like, I feel like
not really. I was thinking though, he just reminds me of an unknown actor. Just, I know that's hard to explain, you know, but I feel like his career could have went on a trajectory to, you know, be up on that upper echelon level, you know, but it just never got there. I just feel like he has certain roles, like this is definitely a great role he had, but I just feel like he didn't reach those heights that he could have reached. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you. I mean, this gotta be like his best performance, what he's definitely known for. And other than what was he? He played like P. Diddy. I wanna say Puff Daddy in the B.I.G. movie. Which
I think that was,
Other than that, I can't think of anything else that he was in, honestly. And it's kind of like, dang, what did happen? It's like, this dude had crazy talent.
And then I get him confused sometimes. What's old boy name that played in that dance movie with Julia Stiles?
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name though. From the Save the Last Dance movie.
Yeah.
Wow, that, you know what? He does look like him, and it's pretty similar. But
yeah, I feel like that career was, that dude probably didn't have the role like he had in this Derek Luke, but I just feel like their career paths kind of similar. You know, like they both could have really been some superstars, you know.
You talking about Sean Patrick Thomas, that was his name. Hey, six degrees of separation, man. You know what his character name was in that movie?
Derek. That was his character's name?
Yeah. So, that's wild that you just brought that up. But I get that. Yeah, I can see that that comparison, though. But, you know, I just felt like it was a little bit of a Daniel Kaluuya vibe there. I don't know.
I was going to ask, is there something particular, the movie role, or that kind of compare, make you compare those two?
I mean, you know, outside of, okay, he can go high and low, you know, in this movie. He blows up, you know, but a lot of his performance is real, like, understated. It's real, like, kind of chill, kind of calm. And it just reminds me of Daniel Kaluuya. Like, I feel like you could have replaced Derek Luke right here and put him in Get Out, and you would have got, I feel like you could have got the same, I feel like you could have got the same performance out of it.
I don't know if you could have. See, I feel like Daniel was a better actor. You know, it's hard for me to see that. I don't know. You could be right, but I don't think he could have did the job that he did, man.
Hey, who knows? You know.
Yeah.
But
did you have any? Was that pretty much it? You have four comparisons?
Yeah, nah, that was it. That's all I saw.
Okay. I will say, and this is kind of on a comedic level, I guess. I don't even know why I thought about it, but Miss Tate, you know, person that was taken or supposed to be taken care of, she reminded me of like the black version of the Waterboy's mom, you know, strictness, you know, just the verbal abuse, you know.
Foosball is for the devil.
right. The verbal abuse against what, you know, he might want to do, or, you know, it just kind of gave me a vibe. To me, you know, when I thought about it, I'm like, man, it's kind of crazy how you can draw so many similarities through film even when the content is so so different, because we know Waterboy is just a goofy comedy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt like it was still some similarities to how they treated, you know, treat the kids or whatever.
I can see that. Like I said, they could have thrown, you know, they could have randomly had her say "fools, balls for the devil," and then had her say the N, and then had her say the N word behind it, because you know she,
that was her favorite word.
Hey, she said the N word. Like, I mean, it had venom behind it when she would say that in this film. But yeah, I could definitely see that comparison. And then also, you know, hey, I'll take it back to the 1996 film, Matilda. Like I said, I think it was the principal, maybe Miss Trunchbell, if anybody remembers that. You know, kind of had that vibe a little bit. Yeah.
So when we move forward in this movie, you know, of course, they're setting up Antoine Fisher's character, you know, setting up who he is. And, you know, at first we don't really see the way they do this movie. We don't see everything that he went through. They kind of tell it throughout the story. But he meets Denzel. He meets Dr. Jerome Davenport. That's Denzel's character's name. And, you know, the first thing that I noticed, because he was going to therapy sessions with Dr. Jerome. And pretty much I noticed that he already, the way that Antoine was approaching the therapy session, but he thought he was going to have an upper hand. That's kind of how I felt. You know, I kind of had the feeling of he's done this before to other people that he probably met me and he just couldn't connect with them on like a, you know, a deeper level. You know, when he meets Dr. Jerome, who's played by Denzel Washington, and Denzel is pretty much patient with him, you know, and it was kind of like his act no longer was working. You know, you kind of see, you know, the layers kind of falling off of Antoine Fisher, you know, because he definitely wasn't trying to open up at first, you know.
Yeah, you know, he had his guard, you know, way up. You just little questions, you could tell he didn't want to go like too much into almost any aspect of his life. I mean, even we're just asking where you're from, I was like, dang, is that personal of a question? I mean, how guarded he was. But as you learn, again, we go into the Slumdog Millionaire portion of it, as you begin to learn some of the aspects of things that happened in his life, you kind of say, okay, I guess if stuff, all of that happened to me, maybe I would be as guarded too, you know, possibly. So yeah, he's got his guard way up in Denzel, and you get the vibe. I know you're saying like his act isn't working on Denzel. You also get the vibe that, yeah, people that Antoine may have worked with, been a patient of, maybe they didn't care as much, you know what I'm saying, and just passed him along. And it looked like that was going to stop there with Jerome. So,
right.
Yeah, that was
cool. I got that vibe too. He just didn't trust anybody, you know. So you probably right about that. People that he saw before he got to Dr. Jerome probably just didn't care, didn't really give him the time of day, you know. So he was surprised, you know, I'm pretty sure, to see somebody had that patience with him, you know.
Now,
so I thought that was definitely cool.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Antoine definitely needs to be there because he's got anger management issues like crazy.
Definitely short-tempered.
I mean, some of the stuff that was setting him off, I was kind of like, whoa. I was like, dang, man. I was like, I didn't think that one was that big of an issue. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about the first blow up that he had real quick, man. I hate to go off, but when they're on the ship and they're taking the shower or whatever, and they're waiting in line, or I guess one of the guys supposed to be an asshole, one of these characters up there, and what did he say to him to set him off for the beginning? He was like, What did he say? What's going on?
I thought he said, didn't he say something? He just asked him, like, was he going home or something like that?
No, I think he said something along the lines of, hey, what's cracking, Fisher? And it was like, your head if you don't leave me alone.
Yeah, he definitely, because see, that was the part, that first scene, I was like, man, did he really say something bad to him? Or,
exactly. You know? I thought I was the only one, because after that, he gave that warning. And, you know, that was like the rattlesnake warning, man. Once you see the little tail joint, you're supposed to dip. But
right.
And then the guy asked, what's on your face? And then he knocked him out.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, what's on your face? Yeah, I don't, because see, it would have been better if maybe they set that character up to be like a bully on the ship or something, but That was literally the first interaction we saw with that side character, you know.
Well,
so it didn't really have that, oh, he deserved to get punched value to it.
No, he deserved to get punched because he took too long in the shower. That's the setup that they did. That's the quick setup they did. They said, hey, we're gonna make this guy take too long in the shower and hold everybody up. So you know how these movies do. When damage gets done to somebody, they want, it's got to be a little something about them that you kind of like, oh, whatever. Oh, this person, you know, kills kids anyways or something like that. Like, we don't care if he gets murdered by Jason or something like that. You know, that's the little thing that they gave him here. They were like, he took too long in the shower. But I don't know. Yeah, so I thought I was the only one, man, because I think Derek or Luke, oh, shoot, I'm calling him by his first name and last name. Antoine Fisher, you know, I think he claims, like, that he said something racist to him. And I'm not going to lie. Yeah,
I was trying to figure out, did he say that? I didn't rewind it back, because I'm pretty sure I heard what I heard, you know. So I didn't know. I was like, man, is he lying about this? But did he really, did he whisper it? Because I didn't hear it.
I don't know. We might have to look into the history of what's on your face. What does that mean? Like, is there some secret? I don't know. I might have to ask my pops or something. Like, hey, was this like a phrase that, you know, white people were saying to people back in the day? Like, because I was a little confused there.
It is a lot of sex to people that were, you know, in the military as well. So. You never know what kind of secret language they had, or, you know. Yeah, that is something
you're trying to look up. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, from the beginning, you get the vibe. This dude, he's a hothead. He's getting into it. He's getting into it with anybody and everybody that wants to smoke, basically.
And you know what else? I was thinking to go along with that. All the trouble he was getting in. In the beginning of the scene, you know, I've never been in the military, so I don't really know, you know, the full extent of everything. So in my mind, I was like, man, how's he not kicked out right now? Like, I feel like you gotta have some kind of limit to where they say, okay, you gotta, you know, discharge him or something. Like, you can't keep going to these therapy sessions. You get out and you do the same thing over and over again. So I was thinking to myself, like, is this realistic? Because I know it's based off true stories, but I don't know how much they stretched out of that, you know, as far as the trouble he got in, you know, why he was in the military.
I mean, maybe three fights is the edge, you know? Maybe he hadn't quite reached the limit, you know?
Maybe he was on the second strike or something.
Yeah, maybe.
It could be. Well, just like most of these films, man, you have a teacher, I feel like, that's helping you. You know, it's also, you know, how these movies do. They have to show the home life of who it is that's teaching you to go the right way. Because just in life in general, I feel like sometimes we overlook that those type of characters or those type of figures that come into our life, you know, they might have something going on themselves. So I like the way they set it up. You know, they show Antoine Fisher all his flaws, and then they switch over to Dr. Jerome, Denzel's character, and they kind of get a sneak peek to his home life, you know, with his wife. You can kind of tell from the beginning, there's a little separation there between them, you know. You can tell they definitely love each other, but it's just a sense of Dr. Jerome is so much focused in his work and things of that nature. You can kind of tell it's like a little lack of communication. And they don't initially tell you why, you know, but they just kind of peek into that a little bit.
Yeah, it's always an interesting dynamic for you to delve into that, into a character like that, that's set up to be, I don't know, the solver of problems for you and everything. This person is trying to get your life on track, basically. And now we're looking into that person's life to see, and we finding that it's not quite on track, you know, so that's, yeah. That's always an interesting, like I said, interesting dynamic. Like you said, he's obviously having some issues at home with his wife. You could tell things have been brewing for some time. They don't go crazy deep into it, but you learn a few things. So yeah, like I said, that's cool.
Now I gotta ask you. This happens a little bit later in the film, but you know, Antoine Fisher, as him and Dr. Jerome kind of build a relationship, you know, as we spoke about, Antoine kind of opens up a little bit more to him, you know, as the film progresses. Antoine ends up, you know, graduating, you know, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Denzel, or keep calling the good name, but Dr. Jerome's wife, didn't she say that Antoine invited her to his graduation? But yeah, as we see, they get to the graduation and she's not there. And Dr. Jerome kind of tells Antoine that she couldn't make it. I was kind of wondering about that.
But yeah, we kind of moving all over this film, but that part, as I was watching it, man, I don't know if you got the same vibe, but I was starting to feel like it is Jerome's character having some type of mistrust of Antoine around his wife. I feel like there was a scene that's the vibe that I was kind of getting, because I feel like there was a scene where when they were praying, when I think it was like so-called Thanksgiving, and they were praying, and I remember Antoine, you know, he kind of had his eyes open, he was looking around, and I feel like he was stealing glances of his wife a little bit. And again, they already were having issues. Let me see. I'm gonna try to see if you remember some of this stuff, man. Do you remember when Antoine, he went on his first date, and he came to the house to tell Jerome about it?
Yeah,
and I believe his wife was heading upstairs. I felt like, I don't know, I felt like there was something in the moment there. I thought she kind of said something about him.
Well, I'll tell you, I know exactly what you mean. The moment, because I felt the same way. I mean, it was for one scene for me, though, was when he came to the house, I think, for another session. Dr. Jerome told him to come to his house for a session, and he wasn't there at first, and his wife answered the door and let him in, and they was kind of like talking, chatting in the living room, and I kind of had that vibe from that, you know, and then Dr. Jerome kind of popped up behind him, you know, out of nowhere, like, you ready to go, but, you know, let him start the session. So that was the scene where I was like, oh man, this because yeah, like you said, I was kind of factoring in my head they were going through their problems as well. So I hope they don't take this story that way.
Right.
So remember, this is my first time watching this film all the way through. So that's what I was thinking. I was like, I hope they don't take this story down that road. I hope it's just a, you know, misconception or whatever the case is. And luckily they didn't. They didn't. But I did get that vibe in that one scene particularly.
Look, it would have been wild if they took it down that road, man. It would have derailed the film, honestly.
Exactly.
And you could take it even further. There's a, let me see. She, I mean, even before he gets to the Thanksgiving day or whatever, she invited him. And you remember, that's he's right. Kind of, you know, Jerome, he's kind of joking about it. He's like, hey, get over here or what that. It was like, my wife has invited you. It was like, so secretly, hey, man, we might have, hey, I think I cracked it. I think we cracked it, bro. I think there was some secret type of, he had some feelings towards Antoine. Like, hey, you getting too close to my wife. And it started out as a joke with him saying it like that. But he was being truthful. Like, don't come around here. Don't come around here while I ain't home. And I feel
that's
like, what's that?
That's one of those, how they say it, it's always truth and joke.
Exactly. Exactly. I feel like that's what happened. And I feel like it all culminated because he asked her, Antoine, he asked her to come to his graduation. Bruh, that was like literally 30 seconds before the scene. It was like the next 30 seconds, they're at the graduation because she agreed that she was going to come with. Now we got to say this. Antoine had good intentions the whole time. He was like, he wanted her to come with Jerome. And like I said, the next scene, Jerome's like, yeah, she couldn't make it or something like that.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. I think you're right about that. I didn't think that Dr. Jerome would have no feelings of being jealous, but you might have a point to that because there's no reason why he wouldn't have let her come to the graduation. Like, there's no other reason.
Right.
I feel like so that definitely didn't make sense.
I mean,
at the end of the day, though, the way I looked at it, I felt like even though he ended up sending them on his way, you know, for his greater journey. I feel like he helped their marriage out, though, in the end, you know, like, you know, just his presence, his youthfulness. I feel like maybe he brought a little sense of that youthfulness to Dr. Jerome, you know, maybe, you know, take that to his wife or whatever, you know.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm gonna be honest. Did it help anything? What scene did we get up there? Maybe I'm just forgetting. Seriously, I get short-term memory sometimes. What scene did they give that showed that their relationship repaired in any way?
They did. You know what? They did it, but I guess in my mind, I like to think that's what happened. Because I just feel like, it, especially in these type of movies, you know, I feel like you can't let the movie end without both sides kind of bettering themselves in that type of situation. And in some kind of way, you know. And of course, we're going to get into it. But of course, Antoine Fisher, you know, he learns a lot from him and ends up growing from the experience. And they don't really show Dr. Jerome because we see what the problem is for him. They don't really show, you know, that problem being rectified. But I just like to think that it's you, you know.
See, and that's where you and I differ, okay? That's where you and I differ because I'm going with the facts, all right? I'm going with what was shown, and I don't think their relationship, I think they had to sacrifice something in the movie. You know how you always got this vibe of, okay, for something to live, something else has to die? I think that's what happened. I think Antoine went and lived, and that relationship died. I think that's what happened. That's what came out of it. Because that's the last vibe that I got from the movie. Like, you can almost take it to a real darker route. Like, the way he so coldly and just nonchalantly said, yeah, she couldn't make it. I got the vibe like, did he kill her?
Yo.
That's the vibe that I got, man. I was like, did he just take care of her and come to this? Because he said it like when he's leaning back in that chair and she's talking about the, and she's saying about how he invited her to the graduation. It seems like he's like thinking of something in his mind, like, okay, you know how this sell does. Okay. All right. And
for it to have happened
so quickly when Antoine asked, like I said, the next 30 seconds at the graduation, where's your wife? Oh, she couldn't make it. I was like, okay. I was like, I think something happened.
He did say it in a way of,
yeah. So that's my theory. I think something sinister happened, bruh, to this relationship. And it could have been on some dark stuff. Now that's if I'm not forgetting anything else that happened towards the end. I do believe like that was the end of them somewhat. Oh, you know what? Hold on. No, my bad. We're tripping. That ain't the end of it. That was the beginning of him breaking away from him. See, you know how much is connected to this? I'm telling you, bruh. Jerome, he had issues with Antoine. I think he believed that he was encroaching, that he wanted to encroach on their marriage or something like that. Because not only did he not bring her, possibly killed her. Not only did he not bring her to the graduation, he also in that moment told him, hey, I can't be your therapist anymore. All of it's connected right now, man. I think he was cutting ties. He was like, no, yeah, you trying something. You got to get away from me.
Oh, man. You know what? Yeah, because he did. That's when he asked him to step away because his girl, Cheryl, was there too. Yeah, so could he speak with him in private? Yeah, that is when he broke away from him.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, it wasn't like he was doing it without a purpose. Like he at that time, he had mentioned it earlier, but at that time, he was like, it's definitely time for you to go find your family, you know? And I guess to play devil's advocate, maybe he felt like, which in a way is kind of true, he felt like he wouldn't take that step unless he basically dropped it. Because at that point, Dr. Jerome was his, you know, his crutch, you know? So maybe he felt like he would get too comfortable and just would never go on that journey to find his family unless he let him go, you know?
Hey, that's plausible. That's plausible, but I'm going with my theory, okay? That's what I'm sticking with. I believe it was a whole lot of darkness at play here. And
I mean, they did show her before, because at least didn't at the end he went back and with Dr. Jerome just to let him know that he talked to his family, and Dr. Jerome was like hungry and they went to go get something to eat towards the end.
Yeah.
And then they didn't show his wife anymore after that.
I mean, well, you say after that, they didn't show his wife anymore after what he said.
Well,
okay.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. They didn't, up until even towards the end, like she didn't come back into the picture at all. So I'm not agreeing with you. Don't get me wrong. I'm not agreeing with your theory, but that is interesting. That is an interesting theory.
All I'm saying, bro, this is what I do. I crack the code on some of these movies. Just like the case of the of the chicken bucket in Kingdom Come, when we had to get down to that, was there chicken in the chicken bucket or not?
Yeah.
I think I just cracked the case. Like I believe that he might have killed his wife, and I believe that relationship ended, and he was trying to like cut all ties. Like, let me, you know. It's like classic criminal instincts. Like, let me cut ties to anybody who might have known. You know what I'm saying? I got to stop being his therapist. I don't want police to know any motives and get inside. Like, yeah, I was feeling jealous towards him. you know, encroaching on my wife, seemingly, I'll say, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is weird. It is weird that they never showed her again, and it's weird to me that they didn't show them repairing their relationship, because, like I said, these type of movies, I feel like that has to happen for both sides, like something, and it just never did. But I guess I will say maybe the story really became more about Antoine Fisher after that point. You know, they just went all in on that.
Now, here's another part. I'm still sticking with my theory, but I'm just, here's another part. This movie is already, what, 2 hours long? Maybe they didn't have the time. That's just, maybe it's just that simple.
Could be.
That it was like, you know what, we just, they, you know, who knows? Is there a director's cut? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you watch a director's cut of something and there's stuff that was left out and some storylines that got wrapped up.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I have to look it up. But it might just be what you said to start the whole thing about, you know, you might have to kill off something to let something live. Maybe they had to kill off that part of the story. Maybe it's just that simple.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that.
All right, so we meet a few other characters, you know, throughout the story. And one in particular that, you know, highlighted Antoine Fisher's childhood, which was his pretty much childhood friend, Jesse, went by the name of Jesse. And if I'm not mistaken, that was really the only, you know, friend that he had, you know, close friend that he had, at least, you know, back at that time. And I think we might have different views on their friendship. I mean, for me, you know, I felt like he did the best he could as far as a friend. Of course, you know, that was a part of Antoine's story, you know, him kind of telling, opening up to Dr. Jerome, and he kind of lets him know how he ended up losing his life, you know, Jesse, his friend, that is, how he ended up losing his life when he went back to the neighborhood. You know, after some time. Now, I will say he put him in a bad situation, but, you know, I don't know exactly how you feel about his friend Jesse, but to me, I felt like he kind of did the best he could as a friend for him. That's kind of how I looked at it.
Yeah. Again, this is the portion of the film where they, you know, flashing back, and you're getting a little more to his story. You know, we neglected something to talk about some of the things of his past. I don't know how deep we went into with like Miss Tate and the Nadine, you know, and the abuse and the molestation basically that went down with that. You know, that was terrible. But then he also goes into this. This is directly from the scene that we were just talking about where Jerome, he wants to basically stop being his therapist. He thinks it's time to like move on from everything, and he's letting him know that now. Antoine, you know, he's starting to have a setback. He's like, man, everybody is trying to leave me and everything. So he's not reacting to that well, and that gives us his flashback of Jesse and how that happened. Now, like you said, yeah, I do got a different feelings towards that. I mean, yeah, you always had people. I mean, that's what's up when you got like that old friend that, you know, would, you know, that's down for you, that'll do some stuff. But in the end, Jesse was a bad friend on this tip. I'm sorry. Like, imagine you and me going to a store and I just do an unannounced robbery and I got you in the middle of it. I just completely pull you up in there. Like, hey, look out. Hey, look out, Jamel. Watch your door. Like, that was, I mean, just terrible, man. How you gonna put somebody in a position like that? Just crazy.
That is something you're wanting to know beforehand, you know, what you're about to get into.
Exactly.
I mean, I just, I don't know, because I go back to you know, I believe this was the same friend, like when they were young, when he was trying to escape all the abuse that was going on. He was that one friend that let him in the house, you know, to get away from all that, you know. And I guess the intentions was more pure at that time because they were at a younger age, you know. So, that kind of rings in my mind when I think about Chet, you know, how he was really the only outlet and getaway, you know, that Antoine pretty much had, you know, at that time. So, but it is messed up, you know, things happen in life, and I guess, you know, while Antoine was away, I guess Antoine was at a shelter for some time or something.
Yeah.
And finally, they came back, and they were older at this time, maybe late teens, early 20s. And, you know, I guess his life took a turn to where he would be doing criminal activity and robbing and stuff like that. So, which I guess Antoine, that's another thing. I wonder if Antoine kind of knew that. That's kind of the way his life went. You know, he just, it was always cool. So that was just a place he always went back to. Because you got to think he would have heard something about his friend. Oh, your friend kind of in the streets now, or doing this now. Maybe he was completely caught off guard, but then again, you would think if they're best friends, childhood friends, maybe he had some kind of idea of the way he rolled, you know, at that time.
I mean, I'm not going to say that because it's not like they had social media or something back then. Like they just knew somebody's life. You could tell he had been gone for a long time. So you don't know what somebody's into. You don't know exactly how somebody's living at a certain point anymore after you've been away.
You got a point on that.
Somebody could change up, you know, and going to like different lifestyles kind of quick. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like enough time passed to where he wasn't 100%. But I sympathize to part of it though, because yeah, like you said, you know, that was like all he had. That was like all he had, and that was the person, yeah, you know, that's who he ran to, you know, who when he was running away from, you know, the molestation that Nadine was trying to do to him, which that whole thing was crazy. that joint was wild as hell. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna go too deep on that, but yeah. So I get it. That was all he had, and especially with how that happened. I mean, I'm also putting myself in those shoes. Like, I didn't have nowhere to go. And I came back to the one friend who I felt like I had, the one person that I felt like I had basically almost in the world. And then immediately this person got themselves killed. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm back to square one. That was rough, but still, Jesse, you messed up. You messed up. Like, come on, man. Not only did you make him feel like he was alone in the world, but you put his life at risk. You don't know what the owner could have did, the store owner, if he could have thought, you know, Antoine was in on it, or whatnot, shot at Antoine. But
That definitely could have ended worse than it did. Trauma and everything he had already been going through, and like you said, that was literally the only good that he had, you know. And I mean, he didn't even add it for, I don't know how much time had passed, but not even a complete day went by, you know. He had lost.
Was it? I don't know. Sometimes you, it's hard to tell. You know, far as with movies, whether like the time slot, was it the same day? Were they like wearing the same clothes?
I think so, because in that scene when he let him in and he was eating or whatever, mm-hmm. when Antoine was eating, I think the friend was like, let's go hit the streets, so let's make a run.
Oh, wow. So, you didn't waste no time. You just was like, hey, I got my mans, let's do this.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's even wilder. The fact that you would pull him into that right out the gate. I mean,
yeah, because he was. I will say he was kind of prepping him in a certain way.
Yeah, you know? With the lookout like for
him. He didn't. I think Antoine didn't know the extent of what he meant. Like that's a perfect example of when communication goes wrong. Because you know, a lot of times people don't know how to communicate things, and maybe he really thought the friend Jesse. Thought that that was his way of communicating. Yeah, we about to go ride on some stuff. Yeah, I expect you to have my back. But in Antoine's mind, he was just like, yeah, you know, we've been friends since we was kids. You know, I got your back, type of thing. So, but yeah, that was kind of wild.
Yeah, so if you and I meet up, man, and you ever hear me tell you, hey, just look out for me. You know it's game time, right? Yes. I ain't trying to hear no excuses. I hope you know what you're getting into.
They should have some kind of weapon on
them. Right, sure. Right. All right, just be sure, man.
But yeah, man. So, Antoine definitely went through a lot. Kind of, you mentioned Miss Tate, who was the person that, you know, we said earlier was supposed to be, quote unquote, taking care of, and a few other people as well. But I just got to say, man, I won't say any names because I know it's based off true story. But I had a teacher back in the day. I won't even say the grade. But people that listen to this, some of y'all might even know who I'm talking about. That's the crazy part about it. But, and by no means am I saying that the teacher was on a level of Miss Tate. But I just remember specifically.
You're giving a lot of disclaimers right now.
I'm just saying, I don't want nobody to think I'm trying to prepare a situation. But basically, because ultimately it's funny. My situation is more funny than anything. But at the same time, who knows what this did to this student's confidence from here on out, right? So basically, to set it up, you know how kids back in the day, they might say something under their breath to the teacher, you know, thinking they're getting away with something. So the student basically said something about her being ugly. And, she heard him. And, you know, in this class, we had like those standard mirrors where you kind of see your full body, you know. And this is something I always remember, like to this day. She was like, you want... She was like, you want to see what ugly looks like? And she made this dude stand in the mirror for the whole class, like the rest of the class. She made the dude stand in the mirror looking at himself. And it just, I don't know, when I saw this movie and this tape, it just kind of reminded me of that teacher. Because she had a reputation of kids being like, yeah, you don't want to mess with her. Like, you don't you don't want to be here in class. And yeah, it was like I say, it's funny, but it's not funny, you know, because I don't know what that did to that student. Like, who knows how that could affect the confidence, but that was her way of going about disrespect, I guess, you know, disrespecting students. But yeah, that was just my little comparison to a mistake that I had.
Yeah, you did a little bit of a stretch on that one. But, hey, you know, even though I moved here like a year later, I know who you're talking about.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
See?
Yep. But, yeah, that's that brought you back to Mrs. Tate, huh? Okay. Yeah.
A little bit. Just the way the situation was handled. Like
okay.
Kind of reminded me of that a little bit. And I guess the reputation as well. Yeah, shout out to her though.
Did she throw the N-word in there with it, you know, to kind of spice it up?
Nah, she didn't do that.
Oh, okay. All right. She's an amateur then.
She didn't commit. She didn't fully commit.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, that's pretty much, I guess, another comparison that I had. I forgot to bring it up earlier during the comparisons. moving forward through the film, we're getting towards the end of the film to where the ultimate journey, you know, had started for Antoine Fisher, where he wanted to look for his family. You know, that was important for him. And that was something Dr. Jerome kind of encouraged him to do. So he finally goes on a search. And at first, he's pretty much struggling with finding information, you know, where to turn. Him and his girlfriend, Cheryl, who's played by Joy Ryan, you know, she's helping him out, trying to find him, flipping through phone books, trying to find his dad's name. Well, first off, I skipped the part. It's actually crazy because he goes back to Miss Tate's house, you know, and that's how he gets his dad's name. Because we failed to mention that his dad got killed before he was born, you know. So he never knew his dad's name or anything like that. So he goes back to Miss Tate, and that was kind of, in that scene, you can kind of tell it was a way of him trying to get that power back that she had took from him at such a young age. And he was there on business, like he wasn't trying to get nothing else. And he eventually gets his dad's name from her, you know, which pretty much starts the search for him, you know, after that point.
Right. I mean, well, they had all, you know, they were already doing a little bit of a search beforehand, you know. I mean, it was running to a couple of, you know, stops here and there, but it wasn't until, you know, his girl, what was her name again?
The character. Cheryl.
Yeah, Cheryl. That she, you know, she advised him like, hey, do you want to go, you know, to your, what do they call her? Her foster mom? Yeah, his foster mom or whatever.
And yeah, yeah.
It almost made me laugh the way he reacted. He was like, the hell no. Something like that. like he just, Jerome, you know, he had been trying to encourage him to go see his family for some time, man. And he just, you know, he did not want to go do it. You know, he felt so betrayed by, you know, the state that they left him in. But he finally went to go do it, and it was what's up. That's what's up that Cheryl went along with him. You know, she reminded me of Monica from Love and Basketball, how down she was. I was like, that's what's up, man.
I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah, she wound up coming with him, and they on the search. And like you said, he had to take that pit stop, man. That's heavy. That scene had to happen. That was so heavy that it was like, you gotta face that monster. You gotta face that monster. Before you can get to this next level, you gotta come here. And I gotta pull this clip, man, of that scene, you know, because I just feel like it's one of the most powerful scenes in movie history for me. Just take a listen to this scene right quick.
Everything. You could have helped me, but instead you beat me to dust. And you?
Boy, I don't know what you're talking
about.
Yes,
you do. I was 6 years old.
Now you just listen.
No, you listen to me.
No, I think you done forgot.
I think you forgot. I said listen to me. This is my time. You understand me? It don't matter what you tried to do. You couldn't destroy me. I'm still standing. I'm still strong. Not always will be.
Heavy.
Yeah, that's Oscar winning, you know, performance right there.
I mean, it really was. Like I said, you know, and hey, I'm gonna say this. I cried on that part. I did. There was some times in this movie where there was a few times I think in this movie where I was like, yo, this one got me. And because it was so powerful. It was like, he got his moment, basically. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, you know, it just made me think about, you know, certain people. I've had this experience before, and I'm sure other people in the world have this, where it's like you got to forgive somebody that you just, against everything inside of you, you don't want to forgive. You just want to leave that person be. You don't ever want to deal with that or whatnot. Now, this necessarily, I mean, between him and her, him and Miss Tate, it's like, it's not necessarily, I guess, that he had to forgive her. It was just like literally he had to address this person and tell them what they did. Now, you know, he had another forgiveness part with his mother later, but you know what I'm saying? It's still, he had to go in front of Mrs. Tate, someone who had beat him down so much. You know what she also reminds me of? I'm going here with the character. We go to so many comparisons, but I'm going to Miss Ratchet from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I'm going there with it. Like a little bit on
it. You know how I feel about that movie, but I can see the comparison.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's so much, yeah, it was so many comparisons in the head. But yeah, that was just a strong moment. When he said, hey, that is the ultimate, when he said, this is my time. I said, yo, yep. Hey, if that didn't send some chills through your spine, I don't know what will. But that was a beautiful moment, man, in the film, the climax of the film, really.
Yeah, that was, like I said, man, that was, at that point, he had to get that power back. As he was delivering the bomb, you could tell he was getting his power back, you know?
Right.
Everything that happened. So, like you said, that was necessary.
Because she came back, because she was going back to her old way. Excuse me, sorry. Choke
right.
over here.
She was going back to that
venomous N-word, to everything. Mm-hmm. So it's not only did he have to meet her, he had to see the woman that molested him, both. So you got both of that in your face, and it's like, wow.
And also physically seeing that they had to change one bit.
Exactly. She never would even call him by his name. She just, that was the name that he had. And, you know, I think they addressed that in the movie. Where it's like, she just called them the N-word. That was their name for her.
But yeah, that was definitely necessary. And that pretty much, from that point, him getting that name, his father's name from her, that pretty much helped him, you know, from that point, pretty much fine.
Right.
I think he found his dad, one of his dad's sisters, his aunt, was the first person that he found for it, called or whatever.
Yeah, that speech broke her down to the point where she finally, like, you get the sense that that's the one good thing that she did in her whole entire life, where she was like, all right, you know what? I'm defeated. I gotta give him his father's name. And the fact that she always knew that and was just trying to keep that from him, it was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, you know, he got that and he did wind up meeting up with his aunt, and they come to meet up.
Yeah, that pretty much sends him on that road, on that journey. From that point, you know, his mother is still around in the area, and they kind of, you know, they asked him if he wants to go see it, wants to go visit her. Ultimately, he knows that's something else that he has to do, you know.
Right.
And, you know, they go on that journey, and that's pretty much like the last thing on his journey that he has to do.
Yeah, let me say something on that real quick. That part, yeah, where they go to see the mother, and you know, I got to harken back to the first clip that we played from the beginning of that poem, where he was talking about, like, you know, who will cry for the little boy and everything. And it brings me to what he said here as he's going to go see his mother, and the guy, I'm forgetting the relation that he had to Antoine, but the guy who takes him over there to his mother, you know, Antoine asked him, he's like, you're not going to let anything happen to me, right? And it just immediately, like I said, I linked it back to that poem, because it's like, he still feel, you know, it's still like a child a little bit that's still inside of him, you know, that never really, you know, got to grow up the way that he needed to be. And you can sense that just from how he said that, like, you're not, he a grown man now, you know what I'm saying? So you're not going to meet too many grown men who going to say that to another man. But I just thought that was noteworthy that he said that to him.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those lines where they got to put that, they don't have to, but they put it in there. And it, like you said, it kind of takes you back to him being a child.
See, also,
I will say as far as him taking that last step, you know, when she's his mother, you can tell, you know, that was another powerful speech, I gotta say, you know, that he gave his mom at the end. Because you can tell she was kind of, she was in shame, pretty much. She didn't even, you know, he showed up and she didn't even want to look at him. You know, she ran to the back. And that speech he gave and the way that he left, it was kind of like he was cool with leaving it there. Like, he didn't.
Yeah.
To me, it seemed like he didn't even really care if he saw her again. I think he might have said something like that. I can't remember if he said something like that to Dr. Jerome in that last scene, but that's kind of the feel that I got. He just needed to get that off, and he needed to let her know. Also, it was also like he was comforting her at the same time, because he was letting her know, I turned out good, you don't have to worry about me, and I forgive you, pretty much. So, that was a powerful scene as well.
I'm gonna hit on that in 1 second, but I just want to go back just a little bit again to when he asked, when he asked that guy, you're not gonna let anything happen to me, right? Now, as you watching that, you might think, because it's like they pull up to the projects or something like that. Now, most people might look at that when he said that as if like, okay, we in the projects. I just want to make sure nothing crazy happened because it's the projects or whatnot. I took it as he's going to go see his mother, and, you know, he's been through that much trauma that he don't know what, you know, might take place, like, which is sad in itself. You know, just dealing with his mother, almost like it's not even physical anymore at this point. You just not going to let any more trauma happen to me, right? Like, I ain't been protected this whole time. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to let nothing happen to me in this moment while I'm seeing her, right? Like, that's the way I took it, like, on a deeper level, man. Like, it didn't have nothing to do with being physical. And, but going back to what you was just talking about, the scene with his mother, this is something that I feel like I've spoken on before. Like, again, where it comes to where you need to forgive that person, and you might not get the moment that you're looking for. You might not really get exactly the explanation, because she didn't explain herself. She sat there and, you know, she didn't say nothing or whatnot. There was really no I'm sorry, but he got out what he needed to get out. And you get the sense that even without him saying I forgive you, you definitely get the sense that he forgave her through what he said. And was perfectly fine with leaving it, like you said, the way that it was. You could tell there's probably no relationship that got built out of that or whatnot. And he might not have ever seen her again. But it was just the fact that you had to release that off your shoulders, basically. You know, as the music swells right now behind us. That's the vibe that I got.
That definitely... Like you kind of mentioned earlier, man, it was almost like a, you know, it definitely was a journey, but you can kind of tell it was levels to that journey. That was the last step.
Right.
The final big boss, you know.
Man.
To free himself, you know.
What you're saying right now, man, it's like you get the analogy. Like, you could really compare. This is why certain movies, you could write a movie off of something else. And you could be like, oh, wouldn't it be crazy? Like this could have been... You you could write a fantasy film off of this, just dealing with what you just said, the journey and stuff like that. Like, right. I could see it in a fantasy world, like just comparing it to fantasy aspects of a story. Like, okay, this is the part where, you know, that's why, you know, story, man, is just, you know, so amazing in that way.
Yeah, that's another beautiful thing about things. Story writing, especially if you do it in the right way, I mean, this is what you get, you know?
Exactly.
What you get. But I, you know, I just want to say ultimately, you know, for me, I do feel like, you know, even though we didn't clearly see Dr. Jerome in this light, but I feel like they made each other better. That's kind of the sense that I got. Especially, I mean, Antoine, for sure. I mean, you saw it, but I just feel like, you know, because it was a point where Dr. Jerome was treating him as another patient at one point. Because remember when Antoine made that scene, when he got into trouble again, and he got sent to the, I don't know if it was the office or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And Dr. Jerome walks out the office and he sees that he's back. He goes on that whole, you know, he kind of.
Do you need a healing? Kinda,
right. He started going off like that. But it was a point where Dr. Jerome was treating him as like, okay, three sessions and we done. But after a while, he started to develop that soft spot for him to where he did bring him to his house. He did allow him to meet his wife, even though in your case, they're in the trash school. But he did all these things and he opened up as well to him. So I just feel like they both made each other better for this story. I mean, this was a man. That's why I said in the beginning of this review, I said, you got me on this because it was definitely one of those films, you know, that'll put you in a state of emotion where you're like, man, this is good. Christ.
Yeah.
This story is just amazing.
Yeah, rip your heart out. Now, before we wrap this thing up, man, I got one last note, and I hate to leave it on this note, but I gotta do it. Before he went over to go see his mother, his girl Cheryl, she stayed back with some of the family members. Now, after he goes sees his mother, they come back. And they got this basically family reunion going. I mean, a whole full scale family reunion, like just a whole feast is cooked. I'm calling BS on this feast being put together in that time. I'm sorry. I gotta do it. I'll call it BS. I don't know what day it was. Everybody's schedule wasn't lining up like that. They got the whole entire family to come in hours. And I'm talking about, I mean, the elders at the table, they was like, hey, everybody come quick. Come now. They was like, drop everything that you're doing. They put together everything. Had the twins dressed alike and everything. I was like, what's going on? Hold on. I was like, y'all didn't put this together that quick. All right, let's stop playing. You already know you had to thaw out that chicken for a little bit before, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm able to let that go though. I'm just playing around, but it was just something that bothered me.
I didn't even think about that, but you do have a point there. Not to bring that up, because they had what at most a day to not even that, because he talked to the aunt on the phone the night before. So it wasn't even a complete day, I don't think.
Oh, you know what? If you go on with that, maybe. This is the vibe. See, I didn't even think that they really believed that all the way that he was who he said he was until they saw him. So if she talked on the phone, do you think they was like, all right, let's get to cooking right away or something? I got the vibe that they got there. And they was talking, and then the moment he left to go see his mom, they started cooking. And I'm like,
yeah, you're right. Because when he first got to her house, his aunt's house, they were still kind of, yeah, her and the two other gentlemen, they were still kind of filling them out, kind of like, is he, you know, because I think what I'm saying, yeah, he does look like him, talking about his dad. Mm-hmm. So they still weren't completely sure at that time. So yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, you know, you know how I gotta see this stuff, but either way, that was a good ending scene. Still though, he got to, yeah, see all his family that he pretty much missed out on, and it was like, dang, they was always there. I spent all them years with those terrible people, you know, doing what they did to me, and dang, this family was always here, and I have them now. So that, you know, great ending. Great ending with that.
Yeah, sure. Now I gotta say, for me, you know, just to wrap this thing up, I'm gonna, you know, well, first off, let me get into who I think was the best performance in this film.
Okay.
And for me, maybe this is the, I know what you're gonna be thinking, you know, this is the easy choice, you know, this is the obvious choice, you know,
mm-hmm,
but. And maybe I'm a little biased, but I gotta say, Denzel was the best performance, I mean, to me, because I might be a little biased because I feel like anything Denzel's in, 9 times out of 10, he's gonna get the best performer from me. And the reason being is because in this film especially, it just stuck out to me, like, I don't even think Denzel acts. Like, I think Denzel is just Denzel, like, in his role. And there were so many scenes where I was like, man, that's him. Like, that's just him off camera. Like, that's just who he is. So just that natural ability to me, I mean, I got to say, he was the best performance for me. And to give my rating along with that, 5. I got to get it for 5. This is a
5 stars. Top notch. I mean, 5 rewinds.
Yeah, man. Top of the top for me. Top of the top. This is, to me, there's no question, man. You got to get it for 5 for me.
Okay. What you said about Denzel, I mean, it's all respect to Denzel. We know he's a great actor, but that's the reason, what you said is the reason why I wouldn't say it's the best performance, because it's a typical Denzel performance. It's like, okay, you got that here, you got that in, I don't know, Great Debaters, or you got that in, it's like, he really will act the same. I'm trying not to make it sound like I'm dissing him, because it's him acting the same is great acting, but it's like, it's the same thing that you're seeing here, that you're seeing there, that you see in this movie, that you see in this movie. You know who I'm going with? I'm going with the lady who played Miss Tate. Her name, Novella Nelson. She killed it. When you can make somebody like hate you almost, like her portrayal of this character, if I was to see her in real life, I would almost be like, man, look at this woman. Like because it's going to make me think of what she did to Antoine Fisher in the movie. Right. And we know that this is not real. Movie-wise, it's not real. I mean, we know that his life is real, but what she's doing in the film ain't real. And that's how I would look at it. Now, like I said, you know, now when you said the obvious choice, you was talking about Denzel, I thought you was definitely going with Antoine Fisher. I mean, Derek Luke. I thought that was the obvious one to go with, because he don't. I feel like he's starred in the. I mean, he is the star, but I feel like his performance starred in the film. Like, you know, got the most notoriety out of anybody. But for me, I would go with Miss Tate, because, like I said, that was. She put so much into that. I mean, I just feel like she's an evil person in real life. Like, I can't imagine her as a sweet person, like, at all. Like, that's how you know, heavy she brought it. But
I like that pick.
Right, right, no doubt. But ultimately, yeah, this was a great film. Like I said, I've seen it multiple times. It's definitely one of those films, like I said, that, you know, had me shedding a few tears. Like, yo, wow. I mean, the stuff that this man had to go through is a story of perseverance for sure. It makes you say in your life, what the heck am I complaining about? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, am I really crying over this? That happened about childhood when he went through that. You know what I'm saying? I can't give it 5 stars. I gotta go four. I feel like I've rated so many movies a 4, but I gotta go 4. It was great, but it's not 5. I'm reserving for the best movies of all time. For me, and I can't quite give it that, but it is very, very good. It's something that I definitely will come back to probably at some point. I don't know. You can watch films. Like I said, you're trying to be put in a certain mood or whatnot, man. If you got to, I don't know, you got to, just to make you feel something. I'm just going to put it that way. You know what I'm saying? Right. So 4 rewinds, and yeah, that's it for me.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is, I think we thought pretty similar, you know, when it comes to this film, man. It's, you know, the greatness of this film, the greatness of Denzel and Derek Root, you know, and the rest of the actors that played their roles in this film and told this man's story. They did it so well. So, yeah, I mean, we encourage y'all, if you've never seen it, you know, check this movie out. I think you would definitely, you know, because we can sit here and review and say these things, but actually see it for yourself, it takes it to that next level. So, you know, just whenever you guys get the time, if you want to check that film out or refresh yourself with that film, you know, I definitely say check it out. But on to what we have next, what we have coming up, man. You know, on this podcast, we try to switch it up here and there. I got to say, man, we haven't done an animated film since Iron Giant, and that's literally the only animated film we've done.
Right.
So, with that being said, the next review we'll be doing 2001 Shrek.
Sounds good, man. Yeah, it's time. It's time to get it. So, with that being said, right. We're gonna leave y'all with the trailer. We thank y'all for listening. And peace.
Princess, where are you? It's very spooky in here. I'm playing no games.
Well, at least we know where the princess is. But where's the
dragon?
DreamWorks Pictures invites you to a land of fairy tales.
Hey! Oh, no, 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 no. Dead girl, off the table.
Where are we supposed to put her? The bed's taken.
What?
Where an unlikely hero...
You definitely need some Tic Tacs or something, because your breath stinks!
...rescues a fair princess...
You didn't slay the dragon?
It's on my to-do list!
...from a nasty villain...
Eat me!
...with the help of his trusty companion.
This is gonna be fun. We can stay up late, swapping manly stories, and in the morning, I'm making waffles.
This summer... One name spells action.
You're not exactly what I expected.
One name spells adventure.
How about him?
Before this is over, I'm gonna need a whole lot of serious therapy.
One name.
Don't look down.
Trick, I'm looking down.
Spells romance.
It's no way to behave in front of a princess.
Ooh, wow. She's as nasty as you are.
Come on!
There's an arrow in your butt!
Oh.
And that name. name is...
Shrek.
Shrek.
Thank you very much. I'm here till Thursday.
Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, John Lithgow.
You love this woman, don't you?
Yes.
You want to hold her?
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Then you got to try a little tenderness.
Shrek.
Wow. Let's do that again.
No.